Welcome back. Stop the movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, here as always with good friends and co-host Brian Muir.
Aw, thanks, Alex.
Cody Wolf.
I am here.
Jack Estabrook.
B7.
Andy Wolf also here.
Hello. Yeah.
This isn't bingo, Jack.
Yeah. Andy Wolf also present.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks.
No, it's not bingo. It's... Yeah. It's
I...
Yeah. Battleship.
Right, yes. That is the movie on tap today, the big budget flop, Battleship, which I don't know if you guys know this. This movie, Battleship, basically is to the Razzies what Silver Linings Playbook is to the Oscars. It is all over the Razzies. Nominated.
Yeah. Is it?
Worst picture.
Good.
Worst actor. Worst actress. I think it's worst screenplay.
I don't know what I just watched.
Yeah.
I got to the end. I'm like, I don't know what I just watched. What I just
it
watched.
It was a piece of cinema.
Yeah. It's
a piece of something.
Yeah. For a movie that's more than 2 hours long, oh it leaves God. You with a lot of questions.
Because nothing like, happens.
Nothing, I mean, right. Really nothing happens.
This was, to me, I'm serious. This was very boring to me.
This movie,
all this action and stuff, I'm like, I'm bored.
This could have been 7 minutes long.
Yes.
And no plot. It could have been
like a short before. It could have been a short before a real movie.
It could have been a music video. This could have been you could have accomplished the same plot mechanics in this movie in a music video.
You know, they could just have changed the title to Transformers 4 and not changed anything.
They could have shown someone playing Battleship for 2 hours now.
You're right.
More.
Yeah. Actually, Jack is right. This looks. I wonder if this is like a rejected Transformers.
It sounds like, it looks like a Michael Bay movie, even though it wasn't.
It's from Hasbro. I mean, the Transformer guys.
Yep.
So this, that's a good question.
Well, it should have been called Destroyer too, because.
Because the battleship doesn't come until
the very end.
Like, all right, the
Which
battleship.
I didn't realize that. I'm like, that was on the battleship.
Well, you don't.
Just the battleship.
But you're minimizing the thousands of young kids everywhere who are clamoring for a movie based on their all-time favorite board game, Battleship.
Now, can
don't discount.
They should make this a movie. Yes, I thought that was. When I was a kid playing this game, I was like, they should make this a movie. B7.
How many times? We've had that conversation countless times.
Now, can we talk about
white knuckle excitement when you play Battleship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it takes elements from electronic and traditional peg-based Battleship.
Now, can I say this movie opens with, like, outer space? I could say the first thing that I pictured as a kid when I was playing Battleship was, of course... satellite uplinks, beaming transmissions to other planets that they believe have life forms on them.
And lens flares everywhere.
Yeah.
This was
That's the version I had. You didn't have those little satellites that came with
it
that you put on the wall?
Well, and
this was the most confusing opening sequence I've seen.
Yes.
To the weird-ass soccer game.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, wait, did time... What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really not clear how much longer.
There's a sliding time scale.
I mean, we'll go in order here, but we got the soccer game. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm confused.
It's really not clear.
It was like three different movies up to that point.
Well, there's like, I don't know if the first couple...
Did it take six years for the communication? Because it starts off in 2006.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, start off 2006 where they beam the signal up.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
To another planet. Yep.
To another planet. And then it
planet
goes to the guy, he's got long hair in the bar, he's a loser.
Taylor Kitsch. Okay. Yeah.
And then...
Also known as the star of this movie.
Yes.
Well, I guess let's go in order. Let's actually go in order and I'll make my point. But
We'll
go in order. Yes, it starts with...
Our hero,
Taylor.
Where are we starting?
I don't know where we're starting. How many times have we learned this lesson on the show? If your movie starts with seeing Earth from space, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's the
kiss of death.
Unless it's the Universal logo.
That we're on Earth.
This is Earth.
There's going to be no Planet of the Apes twist in this one.
Yeah. If you need to give people that basic information, you have problems.
Right.
This is Earth. And
let's begin with this.
Let's go.
Let's
start with that basic premise.
Where does this movie start?
Oh, it starts like Jack said with
the satellite in space.
2006.
And then it goes to the scientist
bar.
From...
They say they're sending a signal
to
this planet on this faraway solar system that they say has conditions like Earth and they think could support life. So they're trying to make contact.
Scientists call it the Goldilocks planet. Why is it called the Goldilocks planet, by the way?
Because it's
right in the
Goldilocks
zone. You want me to geek out here on you? Do you really want me to geek out on you right now?
Oh, no, forget that. If there's an answer to that, why is this thing Goldilocks isn't like a twin or a clone or anything? So I don't know why they would.
Well, no, they call it a Goldilocks planet in real life when scientists look for.
Because it's just right.
The Goldilocks.
Because it's just right, exactly.
Boom!
Why is Earth a good planet? Because it's far enough away. where we're not getting burned up by the sun, but it's close enough where there's liquid water.
I think they were also pretty sure that three bears lived there. So.
That's what I mean. Really, I'm related to three bears.
Oh, I forgot about that. Lots of porridge is eaten on planet
Perfect for living in a porridge. It's based on porridge.
We must find porridge.
The porridge ratio is perfect.
So basically, I'm watching this and I'm thinking,
planet with intelligent porridge.
Is this movie based on Battleship? Because I'm watching this, like I said before. And yeah, it's like there's this opening scene and the scientist is talking about this planet that they found and they want to beam a transmission using this high-tech a complex network of satellite dishes that beam the signal, which of course looks like a laser beam.
Oh, wait, what do you think about that, Brian?
This transmission,
Burn that, Curry.
I had to clear my throat. I'm sorry, I didn't want to hack up something on the microphone.
Let me clear my throat.
But that transmission looks incredibly dangerous.
It does.
By the way.
Yes, it's like a laser. It's like, holy.
It looks like something.
Oh, yeah, it's like a huge like, beam. Like,
I hope it didn't hit John Lithgow or the Green Lantern or Superman or all the other people. Well, that
or Superman's girlfriend.
I was Superman thinking, I hope it didn't hit Alderaan because he's going to blow it into a million pieces.
I hope it didn't hit that big blob as it was making its way through the sun.
This is the
so then, that happens, and it's 2006, and then we from that point.
That part,
it was in the text at the beginning of the movie.
Very small text.
You got to read that very small
text. A lot of text, by the way. A lot of reading.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we're in a bar.
Waiting for a quiz at the end, you know? Yeah. But then we go to the bar where the slacker dude is there.
And
he's got the long hair. His brother's in Navy. I didn't even know they're brothers at first either.
Well, that's like the first line. He says, happy birthday, brother.
Yeah. Oh, you say brother? Well, I thought like a lot of people.
It could be friend,
hey, brother. Yeah, I get called brother a lot too.
Who calls you brother ever?
No, and he says it in a, like, they do it in that kind of classic way because he's like,
oh, man.
Yes.
I've never heard anyone call you brother ever.
Well, they do it in that classic movie way where you have to give information. He's like, hey, little brother. You'd be like, what? Like, who would ever refer to, but, you know.
So, yeah.
We need to establish these two are brothers.
So it's his brother, and he sees a semi-hot chick
by the bar.
God.
Now, I knew this was going to happen.
Okay, for people who are listening to this, we made an agreement before the podcast. We are not going
to
debate Brooklyn Decker's attractiveness.
I did not agree to that.
I didn't agree to that.
Because we could spend the entire hour. Debating.
This mildly attractive girl that Andy is referring to is a 5-time Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. The 2010 cover girl for the magazine and voted one of the top 10 sexiest women of all time for the past 5 years, Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah.
That's just the mildly attractive girl that Andy's referring to.
Yeah, so she's in the bar.
Right, so mildly attractive girl, he comes, he sees, and he wants to hit on her. So she wants a chicken burrito. And the bar's closed.
This movie quickly turns into the Great Burrito Caper.
And then he says, I'll get you one. This is my first eye roll. I don't know how many eye rolls.
This is the only scene that really made sense in the whole movie.
No, this is my first eye roll.
This scene I kind of found...
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
With the exception of Andy, basically every guy in the world would do whatever it takes to get with Brooklyn Decker.
Including breaking into a 7-Eleven and trying to steal a frozen chicken burrito for the woman
he loves. It's got the Pink Panther theme going. Yeah. And I'm like,
and that was an eye roller, absolutely.
That was my eye roller. Like, oh, come on, he's going to break it. And I'm like, am I watching a comedy here? What am I watching?
It was like cutting to different shots, like a YouTube video of somebody trying to break in. You know, sometimes you see, like, they'll post, like, idiot criminals through the...
Well, that was based on a real YouTube crime thing.
It was spoofing.
It was spoofing like a real one. And sadly, it's totally divergent from the rest of the movie's plot line. And it's
not
arguably the only scene in the movie that was effective.
Where you really understand the
character's
motivation.
Can we talk about the wig that he was wearing?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the wig that he was wearing to make his hair look long, like he's kind of a slacker? I mean, that was obviously a wig. Well,
I don't know.
I don't know if that was his real hair.
That was his hair in Friday Night Lights.
He looks like that in Friday Night Lights too. Yeah.
Oh, maybe it is his hair. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he gets the chicken burrito and all that, and then he gets arrested.
The cops get it. Yeah.
His brother wakes him up the next morning by putting him in an ice bath or something.
Yes. He's
like
in
he wakes
ice
up
bath.
And he's in an ice bath.
Right. Well, before
I don't think he woke up in the ice bath. I think he's just taking an ice bath.
He's taking an ice bath.
Okay. Because
so he steals this, breaks into a 7-Eleven, steals a chicken burrito.
Is he missing a kidney?
The cops like catch him as he's like
running away with it,
and he gets tased.
But still gets the chicken burrito.
But still
Brooklyn
gets
Decker.
To give Brooklyn Decker a chicken burrito.
And she's touched by this.
And he's getting tased. And he recovers the next morning with some of the most hilarious product placement I've ever seen. Because you know what helps taser wounds feel better? Coke Zero, my friends.
I forgot about the Coke Zero.
Oh, yeah.
That is some amazing product
That was
placement.
In a couple. Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that. That was fantastically awkwardly done. There's couldn't also have put some it in subway, a stranger
some subway product placement that was offered.
Oh,
too.
That one Later is on fantastic! When the girl drinks
she's
from the
drinking
subway.
Living subway cup. Yeah.
Oh,
wait, which part was that? I completely missed that.
That's much later on when all the the machines are attacking the city and everything.
Yeah,
but, people are still getting their $5 footlongs. So, actually, $5 10-inch ones. As
so I guess his
but
his
I just love how angry his brother is yelling at him.
You need to get your life together. Join the Navy.
You're messing with my job, my life. Yeah, like, how's you're joining me in the Navy.
All I did was get that girl a chicken burrito.
Right, how's he messing with his job?
And he obviously wasn't in jail for very long.
The woman was
like
the daughter of the admiral.
Yeah, but it's his brother. It's
I know,
not him.
I know.
So it's not like you're messing with
him.
But he sells it. So he sells him going to join the Navy. And I guess he
does. So this is the thing. Wait. So this guy's a successful naval officer. His brother's a screw up. He's embarrassed by him, so he decides to have him join the Navy too.
He wants to straighten
to further increase his chances of embarrassing himself when his brother does something stupid.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean,
when you want to distance
in the
himself,
when the big picture, like
I'm
it's
just
not
pretty
even
sure.
clear why this is even in the movie.
Right,
honestly,
I'm just pretty sure.
It's just like a stage.
He just wants to help straighten his life out. Yeah.
It's just an excuse to show some like half attractive girl in the movie for 30
seconds.
You're
going with half on that?
All right, quarter. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just pretty sure if I told my brother he was joining the Navy, he wouldn't join the
Navy. Right,
right. Because I yelled at him to
join
the Navy.
I guess he does.
Yeah.
But then they...
All of a sudden, now we get the title of the movie. Isn't it like 15 minutes in? Like that whole sequence was the pre-credit teaser.
Yeah. It takes a while. That's right.
Yeah.
But then, to confuse him even more, we go to this weird-ass soccer game.
Okay.
And this guy runs up to the semi-hot chick and kisses her. And I'm like, oh, she's got a boyfriend. I thought it was going to be some... boyfriend, this Hooper was his name?
Yeah.
Hopper.
Alex
Hopper.
Hooper.
Yeah. Hooper! Hopper.
Was that your Alf?
I'm thinking Jaws. I'm thinking Jaws now. Hooper.
Are you doing an Al Pacino or something?
Hooper! It was Jaws. It was a Jaws reference. Yeah. But so I thought now there's going to be a conflict between Hopper and this guy's
and
kissing a girl.
Oh, sorry.
Because I did not realize. I think that we jumped 6 years ahead without me knowing.
It's like 5 to 15 years after that original scene.
Yeah.
No,
something. I'm like, who's this guy? I didn't know it was him.
Yeah.
I mean, did they say his name in the beginning? I don't think they did. I didn't know who it was him.
They did.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I think you're supposed to also see like the face of the actor.
It confused the hell out of me. I'm like, wait, where are we right now?
The lesson is always Andy probably needs to watch a little closer.
Then he's a lieutenant. I'm like, wow.
I mean, they didn't show his face.
He just joined. He's a lieutenant, and he's like.
Well,
head of the soccer team.
There is a thing that says like 6 years later, but it's
was there really? Because I didn't see it.
Incredibly small.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see that.
It's incredibly small, and you're right.
I didn't see that at all.
It did.
I did miss it.
In Andy's defense, I didn't pick that up either.
I don't think I've ever missed something years later.
Yeah, it seemed like
it's horribly done, and it's a pretty major point because you're like, wait, this guy was just getting tased by the cops, and now he's a lieutenant in the Navy,
right?
Like,
and dating the girl he gave the chicken burrito to.
Yeah, like maybe
and
we
hasn't
should have
met
covered
her father
that.
Yet.
He has he's met him.
He just hasn't. Okay,
he's the admiral.
Yeah. So, but and just to set the stage a little bit, so the movie jumps forward 6 years, and they're in the midst of putting together this massive naval exercise,
which is actually just a soccer game.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But,
oh my God!
But it's going to be this massive naval exercise where the navies from different countries participate in a mock exercise, and they're supposedly all coming together to do this big exercise in Hawaii. But apparently, before we even do the introductory ceremonies, there's a crazy soccer game, which is
so huge. I guess it's like they have like a
ESPN coverage?
Yeah, it was like ESPN coverage.
Yeah, there's like
play-by-play guys. Play-by-play and color guys.
What I thought was funny
like...
was at the beginning of the scene... yeah.
Really? They look like they're playing in a high school...
In the movie, the name of this initiative is called RIMPAC. And at the beginning of the soccer scene, the guy says, "Wow, this soccer game's pretty intense. Maybe someday they'll call it the RIMPAC Final." Then at the end of the game, "Japan is the winner of the 2012 RIMPAC Cup Final." I was like, what? Like
God,
in 10 minutes, they named it?
Well, and it's so weird because
you really nailed that one on the head.
Yeah.
It might be called the RIMPAC Final.
And they don't even really set up what this naval exercise is. The naval exercise, we don't even really understand. They just throw us into this ridiculously competitive soccer game.
Well, this was the first part. I felt like every scene in this movie borrowed something from other movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, even,
absolutely.
Like, some, like, certain shots. Like, we'll get into that later, but, like...
Calm down as we go.
Yeah. It was just, like, the Big Green. Because, have you guys ever seen the Big Green, that children's movie?
No.
It basically borrowed the same principles from that, where these are like 8-year-old kids playing soccer, and there's play-by-play people. That's one of my like pet peeves in movies, when it's really insignificant sporting events, and they have a whole like crew there covering it.
And look, like I said, look like they're playing on a freaking high school field or something, and they got
play-by-play, and you know.
Was this field adjacent to the base? Was it on the carrier?
Well, it's right next to the base.
Well, also, there's some international things, and the only countries you ever see the whole time are Japan and the U.S. There's like no Germans, Russians, Icelandians.
It's so lazy. Like, this screenplay is comically lazy in the way it does things, and just kind of like, it has broad ideas like, well, we need to set up a rivalry between Taylor Kitsch and this other guy. Yeah. How can we do that? I don't know, have them play sport. Like, what? Like,
they have a soccer game, kick them in the face.
Awesome.
Well, that's the point of this whole soccer scene, is that the Japanese, I don't know if he's a captain or whatever, kicks...
I still don't know.
Kicks Alex Hopper in the face while they're trying to go for the ball. Alex is about to score a goal. And,
for some reason, it's a penalty kick?
Yeah, so
which anyone who knows soccer, that actually wouldn't be a penalty
Alex
kick.
Whatever.
That would not be.
Alex gets a penalty kick and misses the kick.
Like really badly.
Establishing that he's a screw-up still. And
you know what's funny?
XX made me laugh because it was funny. They were building this tension. I'm going, he's going to kick it in the goal, obviously. And they kicked it way over. I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny.
You know what's funny, though? I thought there was going to be a callback to that at some point where, like, he was going to need to kick something to, like, save the day. And then, like, no, there was nothing.
Yeah, no, they don't. Well, that doesn't fall through.
And we start getting these kind of scenes where everyone's, you know, his brother's talking to him and people are talking to Taylor Kitsch's character, like, you've got so much potential, and you're not living up. Really? Because what has he shown us at this point in the movie that he's any? All we
he can
have
get
seen
a chicken
do,
burrito.
Yeah, we've seen him commit crimes. We've seen him play soccer.
Get drunk.
Incredibly poorly, like make terrible decisions.
He did get Brooklyn Decker, which aside from Andy, most men would be pretty impressed by that.
The only thing that he has done to show any potential is he successfully hit on a hot girl. That's it.
And Andy Roddick.
Yeah. That's all there is.
So then they go to the actual ceremony, right?
Now there's introductory ceremonies.
After we got that soccer game out of the way.
Because Brooklyn Navy is now properly represented.
Brooklyn Decker, I can't remember her character's name.
It doesn't matter. Oh, Sam, I think.
Sam and her...
Her father's
Alex,
Liam Neeson.
Right, her father's Liam Neeson, who's the admiral. And
who was just kind of wasted in that
room. Right, absolutely.
Stands around and talks.
So Sam and Alex are having this conversation about how he's going to ask Liam Neeson for her hand in marriage, and he's going to do that at the ceremony.
And he's embarrassed because he doesn't he has to live up to this, you know.
Of course, they show up to the ceremony late because he's a screw-up.
We have not seen a ruder main character since Over the Top.
Yeah, these guys have sunglasses on at the... Like,
How many times is he told, take your sunglasses off in like one scene?
Then he disses battleships. Off. The movie's Battleship, and he disses battleships.
Yeah. He's so busy being late for a major ceremony that he has time
to insult
the Navy that he's in to a young kid who's on a tour. Really, when you think about it, Sylvester Stallone in Over the Top, Ryan Reynolds in Green Lantern, and Taylor Kitsch in this movie are like the biggest jerks you could be as a main character.
I'd still stick Stallone and Reynolds over this guy.
I think that you're forgetting the very important character from The Wicker Man. The Nicolas Cage character was quite a jerk.
He was a woman beater. That's true. He really is a jerk. Yeah. So, and Al Pacino in 88 Minutes.
So he shows up to the ceremony late. We see Liam Neeson looking at him all angry.
In his first of three scenes.
Brooklyn Decker was too busy filming
Taken 5.
Right. He almost gets in a fight with a Japanese guy on the boat at the ceremony. Sam tells her father that he wants to talk to her, or talk to him, and then he can't talk to him because he's too nervous, so he goes to the bathroom. And that's when the Japanese guy goes in the bathroom, they get in a fight.
Yeah. Do they get into a fight, though?
No, because what happens...
They see a lot of shouting and then saying get off. Then they show
this kid who's supposed to be like this wet behind the ears Navy... sailor who's unsure of himself, and he's this side character who's not important to the story at all, but he like walks up to like the bathroom like he's gonna go in, and he can hear the sound of the fight,
right?
And it's kind of like Mr. Furley in Three's Company, where it's like, oh yeah, yeah, you like that, yeah, you take that, bam, oh my god, and he like totally thinks there's sex going on, and he just kind of backs out of the scene. I was like,
could have been.
Is that what you thought?
Well, I spent half the movie trying to figure out where I knew that kid from.
Breaking Bad.
And he's in Breaking Bad.
Also, and the reason he's probably cast in this is he's also in Friday Night Lights.
Was
he? And Taylor Kitsch were high school teammates. And so, if you watched Friday
Night
Lights.
You can really tell the chemistry between them in the movie.
Do they have
really,
the same director?
Really shown through.
Peter Berg is Peter from Berg Friday Night Lights. Was an executive producer in Friday Night Lights.
There you go.
Yeah.
So these two get in a fight, and it's just to establish that there's some tension there.
Right.
Obviously, later on, they're going to have to work together.
Right.
Obviously.
Really? Wow. I wasn't sure about that. Yeah. Wow. I thought they were going to play another soccer game together.
Now this movie bounces around. So far, we've
soccer game for the world with the aliens.
So far, we've been in space. We've been in a science lab. We've been in space again. A bar, a soccer field, more outer space.
And so far,
there's no ocean.
And so far, And so far, I'm thinking this is a comedy. We're 30 minutes in.
We're 30 minutes in.
And like
one of my notes is I didn't know this was a comedy.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it's
all because you weren't laughing.
Those little bits of stupid Michael Bay humor, where there's like a couple of characters that get into a little argument and then slap each other in the back of the head, and then the seriousness continues.
Yeah, we had 30 minutes. I'm like I said, there's been no ocean, no battleship really. And a bunch of
comedy. This is where we should skip ahead a bit, I guess. This is where it takes off. Because they go out to sea for this battle.
And we should mention, we
also find out that Taylor Kitsch is about to get fired from the Navy.
Right.
Why is he getting fired?
Because he got in a fight.
That was pretty quick, wasn't it? JAG usually takes a lot longer than that, don't they? They investigate it in 3 hours?
It's 2012.
I don't know. They were like, because he gets a phone call being like, you're probably going to get thrown out when you get back. Like, Jack, they say something like,
fast they investigate in 3 hours?
Well, I'm guessing that Taylor Kitsch is such a
screw up. Jack, this is a movie about aliens fighting battleships. Yeah.
That's the least of this movie's credibility problems.
So as they go out to sea for this exercise, you see Brooklyn Decker working as a physical therapist for wounded vets. And she meets this guy.
Oh my God!
Both his legs are missing.
I appreciate they're using probably a real.
He was an actual veteran.
But this man is not an actor. Bless him, but he can't deliver a line to save his life.
That's why they cut away from him a lot.
I actually thought in the end of the movie.
They did all right. Yeah.
I actually thought in the end of the movie. Arguably the best performance in this movie.
Because at the end of the movie, he's in combat. But all of his setup stuff, he was terrible until he was actually doing army stuff.
Well, I mean, his part is pretty terribly written too.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not getting much help from the script.
So she takes him for a walk because he's all depressed and he whatever.
I'm gonna hike him out.
So she goes on this hike where all the satellites are that sent this message to space.
And this
which is important
keeps
later
these
on.
Two characters out of the plot so that they don't know what's going on.
It just gives them a B plot. Yeah. This movie's written like a TV
show.
All
over
it
place.
Has an A plot and a B plot.
Yeah, it's all over the place. People disappear for so long.
Well, I have no idea.
But not long enough.
When we talk about timing, from this point forward, when they start hiking, when Brooklyn Decker and the guy start hiking the mountain and the ships go out to sea.
That's a really long hike. It's like a 24-hour hike.
Well, I mean,
back now, Sam?
Legs. What kind of time do you think? Like, this could have been 4 hours or it could have been 4 days.
Yeah, I know.
It's never...
Well, they're out of the movie for a while,
what's great
too,
about the hike, though, is the ships come crashing in and they see him and they're like, oh, wow. Hey, let's keep going.
Yeah.
So
but remember,
go back down and be like, hey, what the hell's going on? They're like,
but they never go back down.
Yeah, whatever.
They're on the mountain for the rest of the movie. What I'm saying. Is the rest of the movie taking place over
They're on the mountain for
It goes at night. It goes at night and they gotta wait till morning.
And then it goes to the morning, yeah. So they're up there for like a whole day.
No one sleeps in this movie at all.
But is it like one day or two?
I think it's one day.
It's crazy.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they go out to sea and they start this exercise and that's when you see more
and
spaceships in space coming towards
you. Yeah, and there's other scenes where they show scientists realizing that there's inbound
crafts
coming.
Including this one scientist who's on the most epic, expansive conference call in history.
But I have to make a point because there's scientists talking about how these spaceships are coming in.
By the way.
And it's Hamish Linklater, who if you watch New Adventures of Old Christine, he was funny on that. But the scientist has what is, to show you how dumb this movie is, this is a line as they're talking about these spaceships coming in. If there is intelligent life out there and they come here, it's going to be like Columbus and the Indians. Only we're the Indians.
I got it the first one.
You are saying that you're afraid your audience is so dumb, they're not going to realize it was... Columbus who came to the Indians, and it wasn't the Indians who discovered Columbus. Like, just, we want to set that table for everyone so everyone knows.
Well, I guess he's saying that we're going to be the ones being extinct this time. You know, we're the ones being wiped out.
Right,
but
you get that from Except, the first part of the analogy.
You understand that, I know, but...
You just got to hammer that point in for the idiots in the audience.
Yeah, which, and actually, it kind of is the other way around. No, Columbus and those guys caught diseases from the Indians that they weren't... That was a terrible, terrible line.
So these spaceships
and they use
come...
it twice, don't they? So, they use it later, I think.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
he says it again. I told those assholes that there's going to be like Columbus and the Indians, except we were the Indians. Wait, we're in... No, we're Columbus. No, we're the Indians.
So wait, who are the Indians again?
So I guess, is this supposed to be some grand invasion from the aliens?
Because it's five really ships just in and the one percentage. Of them crashes.
Don't ask questions you don't know the answer.
You send five ships... You send five ships.
No, they're supposed to come to the Earth and set up a communication.
Just to set up communication.
Link up with so that they could communicate and tell
those
them.
Those were their IT people. That's why they weren't the best fighters.
Because the ships come crashing to Earth.
Right, well, that's right. IT people, that's
the ships come to Earth, one of them crashes, it's the communication device.
Right. I don't get the other, paid enough for this.
The other ships crash into the, ocean. I guess, land into the Pacific, which is where the ships are.
Well, they obviously intended to land in water because they have a very aqua-based...
Right.
Why did that one ship, like, crash into, where was it?
Hong Kong?
Hong Kong.
They're running out of landmarks for spaceships to blow up the movie. So this time it was Hong Kong.
So if some like super like technological spaceship gets completely destroyed by just running into a satellite.
Oh, they're terrible drivers. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty clear. They're just, you know.
They're GPS and then, you know. Didn't warm
that's the problem.
That was a problem.
Yeah, it came up on them really quick. Yeah.
So they land in the Pacific and they start, the Navy ships out there decide to check this out. And one of the ships is like this, I don't know what it is. I can't even explain it, but it's this big thing sticking out of the water.
This is where it became like Prometheus.
You know what it is? This is the battleship board. It's two flat surfaces with a big divider.
Ugh.
It was literally a massive battleship.
You're right,
board.
It did look like that, yeah.
And we're going to have to jump forward.
But, it creates a force field around the three ships.
Trapping ships in.
Three of them, and the other ones are caught outside where Liam Neeson is, and that's the last
you see.
Yeah,
it's a Japanese ship,
and two American ships,
and his brother's ship.
Yeah.
So they decide they have to check this out closer.
Or not ship, destroyer, excuse me. There's a big difference.
So they got to check the ship out closer. So what do you do?
So we send the guy who's going to be kicked out of the Navy next week to check it out.
You send three people on a little boat with a pea shooter.
You send Rihanna in a rubber raft.
Right. With a little, like, 16 shot.
Much like the Green Lantern, they send really unqualified people to check out the first sign ever of extraterrestrial existence.
Go ahead.
You're a renowned screw-up. Why don't you go check out the
Like, no one is making a big deal out of the fact that, like, aliens are on Earth. Like you were mentioned earlier, like Brooklyn Decker and that guy when they were going on that hike, they clearly see spaceships coming from the sky and they just kind of look at it.
Okay,
and there's no like mention of it.
They're like, huh, okay, we gotta keep hiking. Okay. Yeah.
Everyone like is really good at taking things in stride in this movie.
I know. So they go out there and with one boat.
They go
to check out this alien ship.
And we
Rubber
then
raft.
Basically get a Transformers movie for about 20 minutes. We get 20 minutes of Transformers.
Well, basically what happens is they engage... The aliens engage the ships, and they fire these bombs up in the air.
Which then land in the ship. The pegs.
Right. Yes, like the pegs. And then they blow up one of the ships.
Yeah.
And then they proceed, you know, battling these alien ships, and of course they're getting their...
And boy, can we talk about the acting by Taylor Kitsch when his brother dies?
I was pulled.
That was so touching. I
was emotionally
like my own brother
drained there for that.
Taylor Kitsch watches his brother's... destroyer get blown to pieces by these bombs.
Yep.
And he just kind of looks back for 1 second. He's like, okay, let's just keep going.
Yeah, he looks at it like...
He's looking through the binoculars, isn't he? Like, watching through the binoculars?
He watches this happen like you or I would look at the Statue of Liberty. Like, just sort
it's
of
kind
like,
of like,
oh, that's
it's kind of like the scene in Vacation where the family goes to the Grand Canyon, they get out and take it all in. Like, okay,
let's go.
And then they go, yeah, it's kind of, all right, let's just keep going.
Yeah.
And how many times did they repeat the shot of Taylor Kitsch, Rihanna, and big Hawaiian guy, like, looking up at that thing with, like, water dropping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, the actors must have been like, all right, Rihanna, we're going to need you to look up. We're going to drop some water in your face. Like, again?
I'm just
seriously?
Thinking like,
probably about
20
times.
Hold on. I don't think we got it that time. We're going to reset,
literally
Rihanna.
Reused that shot. Well,
you know what's great about that, though?
Shameless bird's eye shots to look like a playing board of the ships.
What was great about that, too, was that during this little rubber raft, right next to this giant freaking thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the things come out of water and smash down. Bam! The water there's been like tsunami waves. And then Rubber Red kind of rocks a little bit.
I like how all these destroyers
freaking flip over.
All these destroyers are getting killed, and they're running around and basically like a V8 bug of a ship.
And they decide to attack it.
And they're completely okay.
It blows up a massive destroyer, and they're like, attack it! And Rihanna starts shooting it with her machine gun.
Give them everything you got. Light them up.
And
so basically, two of these ships are destroyed.
Yes.
And so...
one ship left for some reason gets left alone.
Well, because it didn't fire on...
Oh, right. Convenience. Sometimes the aliens scan the ships as they red only, and attack, and sometimes it's...
And that was like Terminator.
Right. Yeah. They only attack things that they see as a threat.
Not a threat.
Right.
So they disarmed their guns or something, and so it turned green. And
yeah, like, so Alex drives back to this boat and finds out that he is now he's in charge. He's the captain.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's another thing. How, you know, was he seriously the senior officer on the ship at that point? He was.
This movie, by the way...
I'm impressed, though, that... advanced culture like that would you still use red for danger and green for good.
That's
pretty impressive.
That's why their planet G, so they're like very similar to us.
That was
red
very
was danger
convenient.
And
green was
so
he finds out he's the captain now,
and what we now get is...
and he decides to just kill everybody.
Right. He goes again
immediately.
He says, that thing killed my brother, we're gonna ram them.
We're gonna ram it.
This is their first order.
What potential? Why does anyone think this guy has any potential?
I love the crew member who's like, tell me what to do. I don't know what to do.
Give me an order.
I need to do something, Captain.
Wow. At this point, jeez. If I was
jump off that ship, you
like,
wuss.
If I'm in the world of this movie, I would seriously be like, Rihanna, you're in charge. She's clearly the most capable person in this movie.
Absolutely.
Unquestionably.
So he's going full speed at this monolith in the water. He's just going to ram it because it killed his brother, so he's going to sacrifice everybody.
Because now he cares.
The other guy is yelling at him, there's survivors in the water from the Japanese boat. We should probably pick them up. And he's like, go, we're going to ram this thing. And finally they convince him, no, we got to pick up these survivors. Yeah. So they veer off and pick up the survivors, so they're not a threat anymore, so they don't get attacked.
Do you also notice whenever Taylor Kitsch was on a ship, like, and he pointed the weapons at the aliens, it took forever for them to fire. But, yes. Like, they would just fire at will at other ships, minute the guns pointed at them.
Yeah. They're very fast. It's like, I call this, like, A-team logic, where if you're the good guys, like, you know, you're never getting hit, but, like, you know, when someone else needs to be shot, they're, like, laser away.
The aliens are like, yeah, we'll give them a couple extra seconds to reconsider this.
We now get, like, 30 minutes, what I have in my notes as... 30 straight minutes just of special effects and shouting. Like, just people shouting. There's not even... I would love to have seen what this script looked like, because it's just 30 minutes of, like, what are we doing? Where's that? Move it over here! Hey! Like,
and everyone's...
nothing accomplishes.
Even notice everyone's, like, angry at Taylor Kitsch as, like, people are, like, on the deck, and there's, like, medics and everything, but everyone's giving, like, Taylor Kitsch, like, dirty looks. Like, granted, he's an asshole, but it's not his fault that aliens landed in the ocean and started killing everybody.
And he happened to be next in command.
Yeah.
Told you were a screw-up! This never would have happened if you weren't on this ship!
Yeah.
Where's Liam Neeson? Come in here.
And Liam Neeson...
Well, at some point, I think the executive said, wait, how much are you paying Liam Neeson? We gotta get another scene in here with him. Have him talk on the phone.
It's amazing they put. I don't.
They should have had him get on the phone with the aliens and like, something. I have a very specific set of skills.
Does anyone know? Is he above the title in this? Look, I mean,
he was all over the trailer. I know.
Yeah.
That.
Is he, yeah. Because he is essentially a cameo in this
that's
film.
All it is.
Yes, he's got maybe 12 lines.
Minimized.
Yeah. Maybe.
He has the argument on the phone.
Yeah.
And then later on, he just says, let's get these planes in the air.
Yeah, there's like two scenes during the actual...
And that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Cut.
Battle.
Thanks, Liam. Appreciate it. $2 million.
He literally could have shot his scenes in 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, 2 days, and I'm talking like in Hollywood math of like where everything is drawn out. He probably didn't need to be there for more than 48 hours.
Yeah, I agree.
That's crazy. My notes go crazy at this point.
Well, yeah. What's like, happening? I think the next most important thing that happened was there's an alien. They capture one of the aliens out of the water. They get an alien.
It looks like
why was an alien in the water? Nothing.
Yeah,
you said they found it and they dragged it out of the water and.
Yeah.
Well, I thought those little spinning, whirling balls of death had aliens inside them.
I don't think
the things
that
look like they had rotating chains and
stuff. I think those are automated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, there's those because
I like how they knew kinda... our infrastructure. There, so they take the bridges out.
Yeah,
they saw this. Well, threat.
Have, I don't know if that was first, but yeah, they sent out these.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the part where they go into society these, and start.
Yeah, right. They know,
and that's when I was like, wait, this is Battleship, right? Because they there's like these.
Yeah, I was waiting for an explanation as to that.
Yeah, they're never. Yeah.
Yeah, the things go around.
They attack
Hawaii.
The
yeah, and they basically attack. Transportation modes of transportation and things that like highways and stuff that you travel on.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
they
like,
don't
like
want
bridges.
To really kill anyone in particular.
Right.
Yeah. They're not trying to kill people.
And they don't really hit strategic targets. They hit like a civilian, like elevated highway.
Yeah.
Like they don't attack military transportation. They
like there's
the
like a guy like sweeping right, on the street and they target.
There's a couple of helicopters.
Like, come on!
They don't do any serious damage. Like
but,
like this
but
is an
why
invasion
though,
force trying
there's
to.
Never,
that's yeah. That's what I was saying. What was well, the? I thought there was some master plan here.
Right. You know what it was?
I mean, it makes sense to take out the planes and the helicopters.
Well,
and stuff,
you would take out
bridges
and stuff too. But I think it's funny that they knew our infrastructure so much that they're like, okay, that's what's holding up this.
I think this is
transportation mode.
Lazy screenwriting. Because I'm like, why are we? Because I was like, why are we seeing this? Why is this? This is like them trying to cover their bases so that later they can bring the antique battleship in and be like, oh, you know, everything else was destroyed, right. But the aliens
now,
didn't
now,
see
is
the
this,
antique.
Now, this chunk of land is included in their force field sphere, right?
Yeah, I guess it is.
I didn't think it was. That was a very small area in the water.
Yeah, it was just water.
No,
I thought nothing
they
could get in or out of
the... They take
the
destroyer to the edge of the coast there.
Yeah, but I thought nothing could get in or out of the dome. I thought that was part of the plot, wasn't it? So they never leave the dome for the entire movie until the aliens are destroyed.
This is not handled well in
because
the movie.
They take the, I saw the same thing, because also in the destroyer was along the coast there to draw them to the coast to destroy them, one of the ships. So that tells you that part of the island is part of the dome.
I'm not sure.
No, because the people on the hike were not in the dome.
They had to be.
No, they weren't, because remember, that was
the
whole
aliens,
deal. They had to reach
the aliens,
communication inside the dome.
The aliens can fire themselves through the force field.
If it's outside the dome, you won't be able to destroy it.
But then talk about this. How then, at the end of the movie...
It doesn't make any sense, but they were not in the dome.
Why is Liam Neeson not rolling in if
they were.
if he's outside the dome?
No, because that was the whole thing later when they had to get that telecommunication line into the dome.
But
they wouldn't have needed that if everyone was in the dome.
Either way, it's stupid.
But let me defend Andy for a second, because here's the question. How did the battleship at the end of
the movie get in?
Because that was on land.
Right.
They knocked it out. Liam Neeson doesn't come in with the rest of the Navy to kick ass.
Yeah.
If the dome had fallen, because he tries to crash planes.
So
if
they
say destroy that main platform... Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's like
I'm telling you, this movie makes no sense.
Because the battleships are in a dome. The destroyer went along the coastline, got destroyed.
So how far out
that
was
Liam
Neeson
along
then?
The coastline?
Liam Neeson must have been really far out. Anyway,
it makes no sense.
So they destroy all this infrastructure and stuff on the island, and at the same time they pull an alien body out of the water. And they examine this body, which, as Brian said earlier, was wearing a Halo costume.
And then when they take the helmet off,
he's got this weird,
prickly beard.
He looks like an old-timey sea captain. He's got this beard.
He's
going
at the Gordon's Fisherman.
He's an old salt.
Trust the Gordon's Fisherman.
I'll say this. I liked the alien design, apart from the Halo stuff, which is stupid. When they actually got the helmet off, I thought that was kind of a cool design.
And then he, like
the weird
pick part of his, like, he has like toothpicks for a beard.
It's like
he,
made
like,
out of this.
Off,
yeah, it's like made
I
out
thought
of
they
this.
Were gonna do something.
And
like
then,
that.
Well, no, what they did was this is only for the typical thing where I'm gonna get touched by the alien and see what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, they
touched by
melt
an alien.
Because the alien, of course, isn't dead, so it comes to life
of
and
course.
Grabs Alex, and they mind meld, and he gets all. But they never.
He
never says anything about that. I just realized that.
Anywhere with that. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't learn any strategy about how to defeat them.
Nothing.
I saw their
says
weaknesses,
it to anyone,
you know?
Like,
Now,
and at this
point,
what
were we supposed to see? Their planet being taken over by somebody else,
I
guess,
was.
Is what
was
we were supposed
them
to.
Them taking over another planet or something? Or
well, I think they alluded to it, because then he was like... someone said something
so wait,
and he's like, I think
not...
we're going to need a new planet soon or something.
Does that mean they're not from Planet G? Did these guys invade Planet G and now they're hopping to ours like they're planet hopping?
I have no idea.
Is that what they're implying?
I've never seen so
no
many
idea.
Things in a movie that I thought was going to lead to something and then never did.
It never did, right, yeah. Just
for a 2-hour and 15-minute movie.
And at this point, let's break the characters in this movie down into characters who have a storyline and characters who are there to give characters who have a storyline just someone to talk to.
There was no characters.
The ratio here is just staggering.
They attempt to give Taylor Kitsch one,
right?
And they attempt to give Brooklyn Decker one. That's it. Everyone else is just.
I would say Rihanna's more important to the story than Brooklyn Decker.
But she doesn't have a storyline.
But she doesn't have a storyline.
True, true.
She doesn't have a storyline. All Rihanna, that other guy, all, even the Japanese captain. Everyone else in this movie is there just to give Taylor Kitsch someone to talk to.
Yeah. To bounce things off of.
Yeah, you don't know anything about any, even the Japanese character who's supposed to be a big part of this movie, at the end of the movie, you don't know anything about him.
No development.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know that he learned how to shoot at summer camp.
That's right.
But I could not understand anything that guy said, that Japanese guy. I really couldn't. I could not hear what he was saying.
I know, right.
Especially that part.
Because he was pulling an accent, like, I am the captain of the ship. Like that.
That was incredibly
offensive. But I agree with Brian,
very,
too.
Well, that's what he was. That's how he sounded, people, if you're listening to
Japanese.
This. I'm not racist at all.
I don't think that's a racist comment. I just could not understand what he was saying.
I think the actor was purposely doing that to try to sound like, oh, I have trouble speaking English, so I'm going to work on this accent so I sound hard to understand. And then the audience, like people like us at home watching, like Brian and the rest of us, are like, wait a minute, what did he say?
I mean, I had trouble hearing Bane sometimes in the Batman movie. That doesn't mean I'm like biased towards people with respirator things on their face.
Right. Let's be fair. You have a known bias towards people with respirators on their faces.
God, every time I see someone walking around with one of those things in their mouth, turn away.
That goes back years.
That's true. I mean,
but this movie also should be nominated for a Razzie. For worst sound mix. This is a terrible, terrible sound mix.
And did they overstuff the soundtrack? Can we talk
about
this?
Oh, yes, I was going to say
that.
Oh,
yeah.
The first 30 minutes, every song they could get their hands on.
They had two AC/DC ones, Black Keys. Yeah.
The first 30 minutes is nothing
classic.
They
had, like,
have
classic
a soundtrack.
Movie themes, like the Pink Panther.
If you've ever recorded a song that has a guitar riff in it, it might have been licensed for
Battle. And then it goes to, like, more typical, like, battle, you know, like.
They used Thunderstruck twice, I think.
But then also, then all of a sudden, the end is like,
they ran out of songs.
When we're getting to Battleship, Thunder! Like, aw, no.
Yeah, which is also an inside joke for some people at this table. I laughed hysterically as that
I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop laughing when I heard that AC/DC.
I was almost in tears during that sequence. I don't. So a ton of stuff happens.
There's a lot of lens flares.
A lot of lens flares.
Oh, yeah.
If you like lens flares,
it's just like Star Trek. Just like
J.J. It's worse than Star Trek, because Star Trek, there were actual lens flares, but these were all...
I know what we need to bring up.
Did anybody else notice that I think they artificially put...
I thought something here.
Like flecks of dirt on the lens. Like an attempt to make the CGI look...
That's part of the lens
flares. Yeah, like an attempt to make the CGI look more real, like it's really being photographed. So they did the lens flare, and they did this dirt on the lens. Water splats on the lens.
Yeah. Wait, here's something. The scene, I guess it's supposed to be in Times Square when they show President Obama talking.
Did they really get him to do that, or
did they
cut that from
a movie where they actually used the real president as the president?
I think they did in Contact.
Yeah.
They did in Contact?
Contact, yeah.
Which is funny because that was when I was talking before about borrowing things from movies, I was thinking Contact as well.
And
they must have literally borrowed,
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like the director of this movie just watched like 10 movies right before making this and just took a scene from each and inserted it in there. Yeah. Oh, giant satellite dishes and the real president in the movie. Let's throw that in there. Well,
and I'll mention this at the end, but this movie had a lot of parallels, I think, with Star Trek, with the Star Trek movie. I just feel, when I was watching, I was like, this is a lot like Star Trek.
Oh, like the young hero who gets in trouble all the time, and then he becomes a man.
Then he becomes
a
captain. Yeah, right. He's got the sidekick who he doesn't like, and they like each other at the end.
I saw a lot of similarities with Transformers, in that it had, like, the weird, like, that Shia LaBeouf-type humor scenes in it. It had, like, a lot of the slow motion, you know, but quick cutting to slow motion pans of military. Had a lot of the Hans Zimmer sounding action music, and it jumped all over the place.
Oh, thank God, Shia LaBeouf.
Speaking of comedy,
the
one part where the legless guy is standing there, and the professor or whatever, he comes out, he's like,
"Is he a cyborg?
Are you a cyborg?" I'm like,
"That's actually that was
are
one of the better."
Kidding me?
Well, I almost wanted to say to Peter Berg, like, he almost should have made a comedy, because there are a couple, like, I laughed. I'm like,
did you laugh at that?
I did. I was like, that's actually a surprisingly effective. Well, I just find Hamish Linklater, I find him funny. I think he's a funny actor, and he sold that joke.
We just watched
really
all this stuff, people getting killed and all this stuff, and we got this humor of a guy.
Yeah, people aren't freaked out
by that. I see a guy with no legs, and I think he's a cyborg, because I've never seen a guy with no legs before. Yeah. I mean,
back on track.
Okay, back on track.
I think it's at this point, around this point, where they literally play Battleship.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The aliens board the ship at one point.
Well, that's when.
Then they go alien hunting.
That's when they get the alien out of the water. The aliens come back for the alien, and one stays behind, and he's trying to destroy the ship.
What happened there? Like, they rescued that alien. The aliens rescued their fellow alien from the ship. And then there was like a throwaway line, like, I think someone's still on board. Like, what? Like,
Why
when they were on the ship and there were five of them on the ship rescuing that one, why didn't they just like go to town destroying things then? Why is there like one on the top floor now? There's like, I heard something rattling up on the fourth floor. You might want to check that out.
The aliens have the most inefficient plan ever. Like, they are clearly far superior, but yet they do things terribly.
We're going to send five people to rescue that guy, but one guy to destroy the whole ship.
Stay back.
Jesus.
So let's move forward.
No wonder their planet got destroyed and they need a new one. They completely mismanaged their old one, probably.
So this whole thing where, because they can't, for some reason, it's night now, and for some reason they can't see on radar the alien ships, and the alien ships can't see them, so they're completely blind and they have to fire blind. And the Japanese captain comes up with this plan where there's these tsunami buoys in the water, and they're going to link into that information and then use that information based on the buoys moving to see where the aliens were,
of course,
and then shoot at the aliens.
Buoys are set up like a grid.
And they pull it up on a big screen, and it's a grid.
Red blips.
It's the only part of the movie I enjoyed.
Except the scene went on for about 20 minutes.
It's endless.
It is.
And I thought, like, hey, you know what? This is actually decent to me. I was like, yeah, all right.
So they're literally calling out.
So they're watching on the board as these buoys light up in there, and the Japanese captain is actually calling out the letter and the number.
Foxtrot 72.
So they can shoot at that coordinate.
Yeah, but at least they say B4.
They pretty much
or D7. I mean, they got above the number.
Yankee Tango 76.
But it's so long.
They showed the numbers, though. They pop on the board. They showed B, C, D, like popping up, and then the numbers. And it was a battleship board.
And it takes forever.
And it does take forever.
And they get to do.
And I like how. And they finally shoot down two of them. Yeah. And once again, these are like freaking technologically advanced aliens, and two like missiles completely sink their whole ship. It's like.
Yeah.
At the same time,
God, like these things are supposed to be like indestructible for the most part, and two little missiles crash.
This
like,
was very. You know what I kept thinking of while we were doing this to reference in the movie? It was very Sucker Punch-esque, where like you know, somehow like these huge like imposing bad guys are vulnerable to like one hit from a sword. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
but it gets even better because then
they should have sent out
when
more.
When they take down the third one, it's like those two are on the front of the ship with rifles. And they decided
well, towards the end,
we'll shoot out the windshield.
Let's
shoot out the windshield.
Because at one point, the young guy figures out that they don't
they kill one of the aliens on board, and they get his helmet, and he put.
Yeah, this logic made no sense. Kid is like, I remember when I was a kid, I had a pet iguana, and the pet iguana didn't like going to the beach because the sun hurt his eyes. I think the alien has eyes like my pet iguana. And at this point, I literally said, "What the." You know, it's like,
that's
what?
A pretty ballsy move to, like, rely on that tip when you're talking about, like, alien life forms. Like, the eyes look like a reptile, and this guy had a reptile when he was a kid and didn't like a sun. Let's base our whole strategy on defeating these aliens on that.
And why are they trying to take over a planet where the sun is shining so brightly if they don't like the sun?
Yeah.
But anyways, so at the same time that
they're
playing Battleship.
Yeah, I don't think these aliens had a real good plan either. That's probably why they ended up losing.
It's also stolen from the movie. This is that whole storyline is very stolen from Pitch Black.
There were scenes that you know later on where like those like POV like fight scenes where like you see the light shining are like completely stolen from Pitch Black.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So so at the same time this nighttime battleship scene is taking place, Brooklyn Decker and the guy with no legs and the scientist guy are on the mountain and they figure out the whole aliens plan somehow. But the aliens are trying to set up communication through these satellites to communicate with their plan to send more people.
Why didn't they just send everyone the first time?
That's what I was saying in the beginning.
Right. Why is the communication network
so involved?
Why send
five people? Yeah.
But there was a funny,
and they knew how to get there the first time, so why do they need to send...
But there was a funny line here, because...
Like, couldn't someone have left, like a printed directions behind?
Like,
and been like...
You know, thousands, like,
left at Pluto, right at Neptune?
Well,
I did, like, there's a line here where the guy with no legs, he says another one of his really just terrible lines.
Yeah.
And the scientist...
Like, what do you say we buy the... right. world another day. Yes, and even the one character called him out.
Well, this
one
is. Yes. The scientist says, he goes, "Who talks like that?" I've been saying that the whole movie.
Yeah. If there's one guy who comes out of this movie looking okay, it's Hamish Winkler. I mean, he actually, to me, was like escaped.
So yeah. So these three decide they're gonna go and destroy the satellites or something.
At first, they're establishing that the college professor is somehow an idiot.
His story, it's amazing because his storyline. So
he's an idiot. He's a coward, and he runs away.
Well, these really overall these aliens really aren't that scary because there's that scene where he has to go down to his office to get some piece of technology, and the alien spots him right there, and it just looks at him. Determines he's not a threat and just moves on.
What kind of aliens conquer a world without...
Like, basically, with these aliens, all you have to do is not attack them, and they'll just let you be.
Right.
Like, there's...
Because he steals... a peace
sign. Yeah. Yeah. Like, these are very peaceful aliens. Like, I almost got the feeling that if no one tried to shoot each other, they would have just come to the planet, and it could have been, like, a District 9 thing, and everyone could have just, like, cohabitated.
Because he steals this communication device, so they can communicate with the boat.
Well, the humans imprison the aliens in District 9.
That's right, it's the other way around.
Anyways.
Well, maybe they decided...
It was like Columbus and the Indians, except we were Columbus.
Maybe they were afraid of ripping off another movie, so they decided against the District 9.
Well, we're going to jump, because this movie is like...
I know, we got to go ahead.
We're going to move forward. Okay.
It's just so much fun to talk about.
So basically, they warn Alex...
Or they tell him what they're going to do, and they tell Alex to shoot and destroy the satellites.
To shoot and destroy satellites, and...
But they had to destroy...
The guys on the...
But they had to take down the force field first.
Right.
I think.
Or something.
I don't know.
Either way, it's morning now.
Yeah. It's morning. So anyway, they pull this crazy maneuver where they trick the aliens.
Well, they do the super-duper looper.
They basically...
They do!
Yeah. Anyway, their ship gets blown up, but they have to go... their own boat gets blown up, and now they have to go use this retired floating museum, the USS Missouri.
And no one knows how to work it.
This movie just took a turn to Space Cowboys.
It turns into...
Another movie
it's ripping off.
And when I saw the old veterans walking down the ship...
Oh, my God. That's an eye roll. That's my second eye roll.
Old people, come on.
Wait, I'm sorry. I know we want to move along, but I keep thinking of hilarious things that happened before. The scene where their last destroyer is destroyed. First of all, it's destroyed by those little roly things.
The razor blades.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't they just send those things in there? Because meanwhile, while they're getting all their other ships blown to pieces, these indestructible razor blade things just carve up the ship in 2 minutes.
Right. This is a great question for why. Well, we'll jump to...
Because the pegs look more like the game.
All right, so one quick thing. So when that destroyer is destroyed, they take that shot from Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
The Japanese guy running at the ship, and they get on the top of the ship, and you see the
spinning.
Yeah. Why didn't they jump off the side?
I know. They ran from the bottom, from the water, up to the top so they could jump back off. Over the propellers.
Then a destroyer goes under the water, which, by the way, the suction power would be incredible. Right. But these guys just swim away.
Which is shown in Titanic.
Yeah.
So I was half expecting Taylor Kitsch to be on an iceberg. Yeah. The Japanese guy. Hold on.
So all these old people get the ship running.
I got great respect for these old guys and their veterans. They serve the country.
Absolutely. I'm sure they used real veterans, and I thought that was kind of cool.
So piss poor to have, to see them all in their different perches, their different areas, looking all tough.
So have they been sitting there the whole time? Because it's literally
what were they all doing on the ship sitting there while an alien is going on?
Wait, we're all talking at once.
How can we run this ship? It's so old and it's antiquated technology. Then all of a sudden, and he turns and he looks and they do a rack focus and all the old sailors are already at their stations. I was like, are these ghosts? Is he imagining them there and saying we got to find every veteran we can get, or were the veterans just hanging out on the ship because they had nothing better to do?
This begs the question:
Are they still inside the force field?
When one of these veterans says they ain't gonna sink this battleship. No way.
Groan.
So anyway, we get a quick what I call an A-team van sequence, which is when you take something that's out, you basically get quick shots of people welding things and fixing things.
And the aliens have mercifully decided not to attack anymore.
Typically, when they
scrap ships and make them floating museums, do they typically keep them armed Is that probably not.
No, let's just say they decommission them. They
decommission. Yeah.
They
yeah.
decommission. They put cement in the barrels and all. I think.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
They, well, sure, it's a good thing they didn't do that this time.
So anyway, it's a big showdown. You wouldn't
have torpedoes on board.
So, yeah, there's a big battle. Artillery. With the battleship.
big showdown between.
Then they do the super duper.
That's where the super duper is.
Well, right. The big showdown between the old battleship and the last remaining alien ship, which begs the question, by the way, and if you've seen this movie, you know what I mean. These flying razor blade things that come out. This whole thing, if I'm the aliens, just send the flying razor blades. Right. The flying razor blades have destroyed every
other
ship.
They have 100% success rate.
Yeah, but they, for some reason, don't launch the flying razor blades.
And they're
blades.
Completely indestructible. Like, they're shooting at it, and they're, like, completely impervious to anything.
The movie is over. If they launch the flying razor blades again, which they end up launching, but later.
That's what I'm saying. These aliens are so stupid for having this incredible technology. They don't know how to use it.
It's incredibly inefficient. So, to win the big showdown, Taylor Kitsch has them basically Tokyo Drift a battleship. And Tokyo Drift. By throwing the anchor out the door.
Broadside. We call that a broadside.
Yeah. And they shoot the bad guys.
They broadside the bad guys.
And at the same time, the other three on the mountain are attacking the
in
satellites.
Plot B.
Right.
This is where the guy with no legs gets in a fight with one of the aliens.
Has a showdown with the aliens.
And he punches his tooth out.
Which again,
the slow motion tooth punch out.
This is just a robbery. The other movie's like Independence Day. I was watching this, I'm like, Will if Smith somebody is going to punch an alien, somebody punched an alien in the face.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was also that scene before when Rihanna at one point shot an alien with a big turret. And she was like, "Mahalo, mother." And then kind of like the Welcome to Earth. Yeah, there were two instances. Rihanna and an old guy is like, he says like something, mother. And then like they stop right before to keep like the PG-13 rating. Right.
And we should mention too, at some way the aliens fire back at the battleship. And the same exact attack that destroyed a modern cutting-edge destroyer does not destroy a 70-year-old battleship that was
That's
a
what
museum.
The guy said. They're not going to sink this battleship.
If only the brother had said that in the first scene, the destroyer wouldn't have been
they're not going to sink this destroyer. We're okay, guys.
Don't worry. But
they have one shot left. They have one shot.
They decided because the ship is still there and it's shooting the razor blades at them, but they decide to shoot at the satellites. So they destroy the satellites, and just as the big razor blades are coming down the ship, the airplanes fly in and destroy the.
Now Liam Neeson comes
because
in.
The force field has been destroyed.
Right. And Hamish Winkler did the
just like Independence Day.
Hamish Winkler pulls a Han Solo because originally he bailed on the Brooklyn Decker and the guy with no legs on the mountain, and then he comes running in at the last second and hits someone with a suitcase.
And didn't someone even said, "I have a bad feeling"? Oh,
he did.
This is Star Wars.
This is really a terrible ripoff of just movies.
So then there's a ceremony at the end, and they all get medals, and
everyone gets
like
a medal.
In Star Trek,
like
in Star Wars.
Like in Star Wars.
And then he finally asks the Admiral if he can marry his daughter, and he says no, and then says yes.
You gotta end it with a joke.
You gotta give this movie credit for one thing.
We do?
Rarely at this movie do they hide how short Taylor Kitsch is. Did you see that in the end? He's pretty much coming up to Liam Neeson's like armpit, and they don't hide it at all.
He like pats him on the head.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
And that's the end of the movie.
And it gives her a thumbs up. It ends with like a thumbs up. It's the last shot of the film as he turns around and he gives the girl a thumbs up like, yeah, I'm going
to... Oh, it wasn't the last shot of the movie.
No, it was.
I turned it off. I missed the poster.
You always got to go through this record. Always go through the credits.
There is a completely nonsensical post-credit sequence.
Nonsensical!
It's not even like...
Right at the end. I mean, the credits are done, and then it comes in.
Yeah, and it's long. I mean, it's like five minutes.
It's a short film.
These Scottish prep school kids encounter a thing, and then they're like, "Let's try to break it open." And then they start trying to break it open, and then this dude shows up out of nowhere with like a torch and says, "I'll get it open." And they're like trying to.
Now he's Irish, leprechaun.
And here's like, this is happening.
There might be gold in this thing.
My accents aren't too good today. Sorry.
It's happening in like real time. Like
it is, isn't it?
It's like forever.
Come on, we know what's in there. Just do it.
Then they open it up, and you hear the alien breathing, not showing it, even though we've already seen it. And you then see its hand comes up and they go, ugh! And that's the end of the movie.
And that's it.
Wait, yeah. All right. By the way, wasn't this alien invasion happening across the world?
How did they not know about it?
Oh, it was just in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that's they showed the things breaking up across the
world. No, the one thing, it was supposed to go in the Pacific, but it broke up and went towards Hong Kong.
The spaceship that had,
that's why they needed,
oh, I was confused because I thought it was like Independence Day where they were thinking.
That's why I've never heard of. You go to one specific location out of the whole world and try to take
It's terrible. Anyways. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I still don't understand why they had to get the communication going. Why not just send everybody... Like, these aliens were so freaking stupid. They could have easily had this planet, and they messed it up.
Yeah.
And what's stopping the other aliens from just coming back like they did the first time?
Nothing. They already know the directions.
Oh, yeah. Nothing stopped. Oh, hey, sequel!
We already know the directions.
The electronic battleship.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so to finish up this episode, we have two So Wrong It's Right questions before we wrap up this week's episode.
Woo-wee!
And these are two of my favorites.
Ooh.
The first one is... I don't know if Andy probably doesn't know this, but some of the rest of us do. 2012 was a pretty rough year for Taylor Kitsch. Things did not go well. He was in three movies in 2012.
Really?
All three struggled. He was in the star of John Carter.
Mm-hmm.
He was the star of Battleship. And he was the star of Oliver Stone's movie Savages. So those are the only three movies he was in 2012.
They all sucked.
For 2012, how much money did Taylor Kitsch's movies lose in total? The total loss incurred.
John
by those...
Carter was one of the worst ever.
Well, don't give away your strategy, B-Mules. Don't tip this. Don't
but
tip
I don't
your
know
hat.
If I can put a number on it.
So how much money was? They you lost. Mean all the so so tip my add hat. Up add up the budgets for all three movies?
No. Add up the losses.
You're okay.
You're adding.
Andy looks like his brain is melting right before our eyes.
Well,
you threw too many numbers.
Each movie cost.
I didn't throw any numbers at you.
$100 million. I didn't throw any.
It's gonna be okay, Andy. We're gonna get you to a hospital
before 2012. But
2012 is a year.
In 2012, and then but before.
Let me set the table.
He was in three movies in 2012.
Oh my God.
Let me set the table. Well, there's years. Yeah. Some people call them years of our Lord.
I understand that.
And 2012 was a year of our Lord.
That was last year, Andy.
And he had three movies then.
Yes.
Three movies.
One, two, and you want three. You want to know the losses of the ones before?
No.
Those
all right, let's forget about 2012.
Okay, you're, you don't answer this question.
Yeah,
well,
you can say this one out.
I bet I get it right.
Here, hold on. For the rest of you, all three movies he made in 2012.
$12 million. So I'm going with it.
Okay. I'm,
this isn't The Price is Right. You don't get like bet like $1 and get everything above it.
Hold on, listen.
$12 million. So I'm going with it.
All three movies lost money.
Right.
He did not make a money-making movie in 2012. All three movies he starred in lost money. What is the total losses that the three movies together...
I don't appreciate you talking down to me.
Well, you need it.
Okay. 12 million. I said 12 million.
Alex just Liam Neeson to your Taylor Kitsch. All
right, Andy's going to 12
Which I know I'm way off.
Okay.
12 million.
All right. Anyone else? Again, the movies were John Carter... Battleship and Savage.
At least two of those films were multi-million dollar budgets. At least two of them.
Yeah.
Because the two of them were huge special effect
huge
makers.
Movies.
I'm going to pick I'm going to say 100 mil.
You're
because
saying lost 100
at
mil.
Least two of those movies were like epically budgeted for the
all
special
right.
effects.
Rough year for Taylor Kitsch. You're saying he lost 100
mil. I'm saying he
mil.
Lost 100 mil.
Okay. Man. Or the studios lost 100
because,
mil on his
cause
movies.
Because I'm adding three movies Jeez. Losses together.
Okay.
Though.
I'm going to go higher. I'll say, man, is 200 mil too much? I'll say I'm gonna go high and go 200.
Okay,
I think 200? That's high.
I'm gonna go 250.
You're going 250?
I should change it's mine.
12.
Really? Really? Do you think you should change yours? Because 12? You're saying 12 doesn't.
I was
fit
gonna
in.
Go three, but.
And you realize the year was 2012. You don't have to say 12 million.
I'm gonna say 175.
Did you pick?
Okay.
Did you pick 12 just because that was the year?
The year I think I.
I'm gonna.
My analytical mind just.
This is like that Anchorman. I love lamp. Rick, did you just say lamp because you saw it in the room?
I love lamp.
Maybe.
And I'm gonna give the answer. The person who won was still off by more than $100 million.
Wow. Cody won.
Negative. Brian Mueller
won. Was it 350?
Taylor Kitsch's movies in 2012 lost. $353 million.
I was gonna go with 300.
Wow.
Holy crap.
John Carter lost $200 million.
That was
on
the
its own.
I think that was the record breaker, right?
That's on its own. Battleship lost $150 million.
Jeez.
Savages only lost $3 to $4 million.
Oh, that was a big day.
He was close on that one.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Well, you know what they say, you don't make movies to make money. It's the art.
Can you imagine that if you were the star of three movies and they lost $353 million.
That's quite the resume.
Yeah, still get a job.
Does this mean we're going to review?
Go to prison for that.
Does this mean we're going to review the other two movies, Savages and John Carter?
I was going to say, if you're a fan of Taylor Kitsch, I would watch everything he does now because I don't know how much more you're going to be seeing of him.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough going. All right, our second So Wrong It's Right question. Brian Muir cleaning up that one. As you might guess, when this movie...
He cleaned it up. He didn't get it right.
You guessed $12 million. You shouldn't say anything.
$100 million.
You were off by $338 million.
It's true. It's true.
Well, but he didn't say I was right.
Anyways,
I won.
Anyway, as you might guess, when this movie was being made, a lot of board game movies were in development.
Oh, no. There's more?
A lot of board game movies.
I know
there was going to be more.
When this movie tanked, pretty much all of those were thrown into the trash. There is only at this point, by a major studio, one board game related movie.
Now we're not counting anime card game movies like Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, I'm gonna say, we're talking studio movies.
Based on like Milton Bradley games.
I'm gonna say just board games.
Okay,
I'm gonna say Monopoly because I think that one's still in progress.
All right, Cody's going with Monopoly.
I think that one's still in
progress.
Chess, the movie. No, I don't know. I'm not gonna say Chess.
Othello.
Say...
Wait, does Othello count? Because that's a game, and
I'm going with Candyland.
And it's going Candy.
Hungry, ooh, Hungry Hippos. Yeah.
Oh, Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Okay. Okay.
I'm intrigued by Candyland, but my first instinct was Monopoly, so I'll go with that.
All right,
too.
Two with Monopoly, one with Candyland, one with Hungry, Hungry Hippos, which is a quality board game, by the way.
Sorry.
Big turnaround in this round. Andy Wolf wins this round.
Wow. I gave him that answer yesterday.
You didn't give it to me yesterday.
I gave it to you yesterday.
You mentioned it yesterday.
Is there a game? Is
really?
Candyland in this room?
They're making Candyland?
And not only.
A movie?
I guess they're making an animated kids film. Book it for this podcast now because a Candyland movie starring Adam Sandler is in the works.
Oh, my God.
We may have just gotten a preview where this podcast is headed.
They're making a Candyland
movie. I feel like
movie.
That's a Tim that has Tim Burton written all over it.
Oh, that has an awful Tim Burton movie written all over it.
And it would have Johnny Depp as Lord Licorice.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember all that.
And it would have a little CGI Helena Bonham Carter with a massive head.
Yeah, and Christopher Lee would show up at some point. Yeah, that would be a terrible
propped
terrible
up by a awesome. Candy cane.
Well, I think that brings this episode to a close. Let's just do some... as always, you can follow us on Facebook at Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. You can get amazing pictures from the films we've covered. Find out previews of upcoming films. Good
like
stuff
Candyland.
On Facebook. Like Candyland, which will almost certainly be on this podcast at some point. And you can follow some of us on Twitter, not all of us. You can follow Jack.
Mm-hmm, at Jack Hesterbrook.
You have a Twitter?
Yeah, Cody really? A. Wolf.
Cody A. Wolf.
We mention it every week. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also on the Twitter at Wind Up Films. Good
I'm not
updates.
On Twitter either.
Yeah.
See, okay, Brian's not either.
Andy. Well, I am on Twitter, but I've never tweeted.
No, okay.
Yeah, and you can follow Andy if you have AOL.
AOL.
You can, I think
.com.
He's... Yeah.
Or a mailbox.
You can,
USPS?
He'll have a MySpace within a year, I'm
yeah,
sure.
You can only follow Andy if you have dial-up AOL. If you have, like, full
yeah,
speed...
Nothing too fast.
Yeah, it's got to be dial-up. And AOL Instant Messenger. He is the last guy available for instant messaging. You know, if you have AIM Messenger, you can contact him.
I haven't
Andy
done that in, like,
there.
6 months. There's nobody on. I was like, anybody? Hey, hello?
Anybody
hello.
Out there? Anybody? Dot, dot, dot.
So I yeah.
Proof of life?
Chris Hansen's waiting for you.
So, yeah, that brings our episode to a close. More fantastic
movies.
Manti
Teo was duped by Andy Wolf.
Yeah.
I met this really nice football player online. He seems really sweet.
The one guy who doesn't have Skype or anything like that, he's like, I just don't have it. I'm sorry. I'd love to communicate with you by FaceTime or Skype, but I don't have it.
People are wondering how Manti Teo could be so naive. It's because Andy Wolf was the girl.
What you can do is you can send me a text email every day, and I will respond.
Check out my podcast.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, we'll be back very soon with more episodes, and we will see you all soon. Bye.
Later.